Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Texas is that same number. You know, my guess is the dawn of resistance itself, Maggie Dawn. And you know, Maggie, the hate that hate produced, right? Our phone line's open, 844-967-2789. Maggie, I really don't understand. I mean, I've lived long enough to know why people hate other people, right? But I really don't understand why now, even in the public schools, even in the schools, there's been an attack and assault on where children are, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't like what they're doing in school, and I'm a parent, and I have a right. I'm going to control what's taught in the school. Yeah, what do you know about?
Bingo. I'm sorry. Do you have a PhD in childhood education, childhood psychology, any of that? Like, no. If you don't like what public schools are teaching, go send your kid to private school. Like,
yes.
That's the Oh, and by the way, there's vouchers where I'm sure none of that is being taught in these religious schools. And don't get me started about the actual border wall that we need to yes. draw between church and frickin' state, right? But, you know, I remain mystified that people continue to assert, and we were talking about this a little bit on the break, that somehow Democrats are doing anything like this. It's like, I'm sorry, on what planet do you exist? Barack Obama ran on hope and change. His message was one of unity. President Biden ran on that, and I know people are criticizing, well, you're not unifying. That's like the Pope saying, I support world peace, and then blaming the Pope for Putin's invasion of Ukraine. These are not messages coming from Democrats. In this studio, as angry as I get, you will never hear me say anything that incites or condones violence of any type against anybody who disagrees with me, other than to simply invite them into a boxing ring with headgear, you know, boxing gloves on, and a referee in a fair stand-up boxing fight. Like, that's different, and I mean that very, you know, tongue-in-cheeky, of course. So, you have the son of the former president, right? Advocating for mobilization, that's the words right. that he's using, posting a picture of a pair of men's underpants and a hammer, saying he's going to go as Mr. Pelosi for Halloween, making fun of these things. Carrie Lake making fun of these things. The chair of the National Republican Congressional Committee posted a video of himself shooting a gun repeatedly with the hashtag Fire Pelosi. If that's not an invitation to violence, I don't know what is. Oh, wait, there's more. Again, from the National Republican Congressional Committee, they pinned a tweet to their page that said, finish the job, with a grievance list about Nancy Pelosi. That, I mean, it's not even metaphoric. It is literally a call to violence. So we need to stop with this doctrine of false equivalency. Well, Democrats do it too. No, they don't. There is not widespread lying and calls to violence coming from Democratic candidates. Simply false.
You know, Maggie, said earlier this morning, yesterday morning, on one of the conservative talk shows in the city, they played, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening.
It's disgusting.
And the hosts were laughing, right? They thought that was funny. And they're Republicans, right? One of the top Republican radio stations in the city.
Let's name them. Who was it?
Well,
Do you feel comfortable?
Jay Weber and WISN.
Yeah. And anybody that listens to that station should turn them off. Find a different conservative outlet that doesn't promote violence.
And somehow that was funny. They laughed and joked about it. And I was, to be honest with you, it just
sickened.
But it reassured me. of who they are and what they do.
Yes, they're showing. You know, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
I will challenge any of my conservative friends, and I've argued with many of them productively, that you cannot continue to call yourself a person who believes in God and respects the dignity of all persons and continue to vote with this party who is now showing you who they are.
So let me ask you, Maggie, because I have friends who say you need to understand why these people are angry.
No, we don't. I don't need to understand hate and bigotry. I already do. Not in the way that you, sir, do, or anybody that has to walk through this country as a person of color. I don't understand it in that way, but I can observe it and I can fight it, and I don't need to psychologically analyze people about what's wrong with them or why they hate. I no longer feel any need to respond with understanding and constructive dialogue. I don't feel that need anymore. The information, should one want to educate themselves, is readily available. So you're lazy, you're stupid, or you're a sucker. Those are the doors here. There is no other options.
You know, Maggie, it's when an elected official or congressperson says, Democrats can't be Christians.
Who died and made you pope? Literally, that's my question.
So the fact that you say that, an elected official, and there's not a price to be paid for you saying that, right?
Right.
20, 30 years ago, if he would have said that, they would have pounced all over him.
When Gabby Giffords was shot and almost killed, You didn't see people making fun of that. You would today. If that same thing happened today and her husband was shot, who's running for Senate in Arizona, if he was shot today, those same people on WISN, the same guy that vandalized this radio station last night in the dead of night under the cloak of darkness, you coward, would be making fun of Mr. Giffords.
Yeah. You know, Maggie, and so what has happened is they claim to be patriots, right? The people who do that claim to be patriots.
It is patriotic to criticize your country. It is patriotic to say, I disagree. That is the root of American patriotism. It is not blind fealty to a narcissist who wants to break the democracy, which he considers a toy, to serve his own personal self-aggrandizement and self-enrichment. That is not patriotism.
You know, Maggie, the frustration is all of these armed militias that they know exist, and even more that we don't even talk about, right? Or they don't talk about. The FBI, and I'll have guys who call here and debate me on Black Lives Matter, and they burned the cities and you didn't say anything about that, and they somehow equate that with what happened
on January 6th.
Yeah,
again, false equivalencies.
There's no comparison whatsoever. But you can't even have a conversation with people who can't even comprehend the difference, right?
No, because it's not a reality-based discussion. Their bias has taken over their rational brain. It is all amygdala. It is no frontal cortex. It is all emotion and response and biases and letting their racist freak flag fly.
You know, Maggie, it was bad enough when there were just white men who felt that way.
Oh, yeah, and all the women are ganging up at those school board meetings.
Now you got the Boberts and...
Oh, God.
And what is her name?
MTG.
Taylor. Yeah, Green. I mean, and these women, and even Carrie Lake.
Yes.
And people like that, who you used to look to the women for some stability, right?
Gone.
You almost can't do that anymore because the women in the school boards that are taking over the schools and coming into the schools like they were in Tulsa recently.
Yep.
People who don't
They're
even live
even
there.
They're not even from Tulsa. Go back to River Hills and Mequon where that crap plays. Okay? I mean, I beg of women, mothers, please turn off the hate in your head and lean into the love that you clearly feel for your children and understand the love that other parents feel for their children that might not be the same as yours. The love a black mother or father has for their son, especially in this world. The love that a parent has for their transgendered child who is struggling, who has the highest chance of committing suicide of basically any demographic group in this country today. Listen to what medical professionals and educational professionals are telling you. The ones that actually belong to the, you know, respected and accepted medical societies. Don't just listen to the kooks. Okay? Take the time. If you love your children, you owe them that. To not teach them hate. That was one thing I knew very clearly growing up. Was one, I started to express differences of opinion with my parents right away, and they would disagree right back with me,
right.
Actually argue with me. But the one constant, no matter what we were talking about, was love,
right.
And not to hate other people.
You know, Maggie, I have never hated in my life. I have lived 68 years and don't hate anybody. Because hate destroys the hater.
It does.
And so you, I mean, to wake up with your fist ball up.
Mm.
To go to sleep with your fist ball up.
Mm.
Well, why? I don't like that person. The person doesn't even know you exist. And you're sitting around, your life is impacted and affected all day, every day. Because you hate somebody you don't even know.
Yeah, to all those nut jobs that send me the hate mail in my county office,
yeah.
The death threats that come in, I say, sit down with me sometime. I'll talk with you as long as you go through a pat down and a metal detector, because stuff has gotten that real these days.
Right. I mean, there's no question whatsoever. And I know folk are listening. I know they are. And you don't have to respond. Because I know that the dawn of resistance is speaking the unequivocal truth. And I know I come in here every day and everything that I talk about is based on truth. If you disagree and don't think that it is, 844-967-2789. Unlike other Republican hosts and shows, we give you an opportunity.
Bingo.
To prove us wrong.
Put down your AR-15, your bricks, your pitchforks and torches, and pick up the phone.
All right. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the one and only Dawn of Resistance, Miss Maggie Dawn. Maggie, you wanted to say something as we begin to wrap up.
Yeah, I just, you know, I really feel, so I'm a Gen Xer. I was born in 77. And my generation particularly was the beneficiary of generations worth of social progress work and social justice
right.
work. I grew up in a bubble of thinking that I would be judged more on my merit than on my gender or my sexuality or someone's race or anything like that. I think folk, particularly in that Gen X space, really became complacent. We thought the arc of time always bends towards justice and all this. That ain't true. And we effectively abrogated our responsibility. I happen to be someone who, because of my family's beliefs and our involvement in local politics and campaigning, always cared very deeply and was always plugged into that. But so many of my peers weren't. They didn't understand the history of segregation, Jim Crow, and the continuation of discriminatory institutions and systems, and the disparate outcomes that we see. They didn't have any concern over those matters because they were benefiting from it invisibly, almost. It's like, oh yeah, that was a thing back then. It's not a thing now. And I feel like we've abrogated our responsibility. And particularly right now, folks in that Gen X zone have an ability to, I think, stand up now. You don't have to necessarily run for office, though I encourage folks that have never considered it to do so, to not only stand up and have our voices be heard, because we benefited from all of that social progress, but to ensure that the folks that are now going to be our grandchildren and our children are going to have the benefit of those, that same progress that we enjoyed, that they know how to disagree without hating. That's, I mean, what are you teaching your children now? Maggie, that if you disagree, you hate and you can hit?
Maggie, you have the same heart that I have. And so it's why I love you so much. You have the same heart that I have. And I always say, it is not your generation. Because my generation, it's time for that torch to be passed. And your generation is in leadership now. Let's go to the phones quickly with Eric. Eric from Tulsa. Hey, Eric, how you doing? Eric.
How are y'all doing?
All right, what's going on?
All things considered, let's say, right? This is a sad day for local politics, that's for sure. But I'd like to say that, you know, I think the big thing about this is we need to be like Joe Hill, the old Paul Robeson song, is don't mourn, organize. You know, this is why we need to vote these folks out, because this is taking this violent rhetoric into action, and it's just a step too far for our politics. And Maggie, having talked about Gen Xers, me personally being a Gen Xer as well, born a few years before her, you got to remember that complacency also comes a little bit with the fact that we grew up in the aftermath of the 60s, which was political violence, even into the 70s with Fred Hampton in Chicago. And so that always affected me and kept me thinking always to myself, is politics worth dying for? And so it always kind of, I mean, I'm someone who's loved politics since I was a kid, but I've always been like, do I really want to get involved? And I see now that, you know, look at now, this new generation is going to grow up under the same stuff.
But see, you are involved,
Eric. Bingo.
You know, you are involved, and you see it. And so if there were more Erics and more Maggies, I would be comfortable. But my generation that's dying off, we, you know, I look and I see our children, and I think about, you know, how things were when I was a child, and I lived, even though, you know, segregation was still around, I lived in a peaceful upbringing and didn't see all the violence. But these young people and what they're faced with, Maggie, the hatred that they get, their grandparents should be the stabilizing force.
Right.
But we've even got some grandparents running around. If you looked at what took place in Washington, D.C., there are a bunch of folk my age,
yep,
running around with guns and pitchforks and all those things when they should have been the stabilizing force.
Bringing people back from,
yes,
the brink, not pushing them towards it. That's the fundamental question. Do your words and actions spur people to productive discourse and action? Do you pull people back from the brink, or do you push them towards it? Do you incite violence, or do you fight violence? Do you incite hatred and otherisms, or do you fight that? Ours, whether you like it or not, is a secular democracy. Period. That means that your religious beliefs do not dictate my life. So take your abortion, your anti-abortion, your anti-choice, your anti-healthcare stance, and go preach that in your church. Because that is not what is supposed to happen in our courthouses and in our public squares. Go take your vilification of trans, gay, bisexual, etc. Preach that hate in your church. But do not bring it to the square.
Well, think about it. There's a man running for governor in this state who said, I don't care what you do at home, just don't bring it out in the open.
Since when does Tim Michaels get to decide what people do on the street based upon upon his own religion.
Yeah, you are. Quickly, Eric. Quickly.
Yeah, I'd like to say really quickly, I'd like to ask who is going to call on the other local talk radio stations and demand that they denounce this type of violence?
I'll give a few of them a call today.
I would
today.
Like to contact the other radio stations and ask that they communicate to their listeners that this is a news story. And call Mr. Karmazan. Do it.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Maggie, thank you. I hate we got to let you go.
I'll be back on Tuesday.
Yeah, you'll be back. All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It is Tuesday. That means the Pier 6 brawler himself, Professor Dr. Michael Rosen, is in the house. And I'll tell you something. To see the damage that's done to the radio station, and apparently somebody trying to send a message, I couldn't have had any better guests on if I could have handpicked the people who I wanted to come on and appear and have a conversation about this is Dr. Professor Michael Rosen and Maggie Dawn. So the Dawn of Resistance has just left, and Dr. Michael Rosen has just entered into the studio. Dr. Rosen, you get to see a little bit about.
Yeah,
somebody was trying to send a message, right?
Yeah, clearly. I think that what they're trying to do is intimidate people from talking about the issues that are of concern to people in this country. They're trying to intimidate people. What happened here, and I walked in and there's broken glass everywhere, shattered windows, broken glass, three windows shattered, is in line with the attack that took place on Mr. Pelosi, Paul Pelosi, in San Francisco, where someone broke in shouting, "Where's Nancy?" with plastic ties and a hammer, whose intent was to kidnap and kneecap Nancy Pelosi. The purpose of this vitriol and violence is to intimidate people from speaking out on issues that matter. And I know, Earl, you well enough that you're not going to be intimidated.
Absolutely not.
You're not going to be intimidated. But let's be frank. I walk in here and I see all this broken glass. And in Germany, when the fascist party, the SS, launched its coup d'etat, essentially, Hitler was already the prime minister, but they essentially moved to a dictatorship. It was called the Night of the Broken Glass. That was the translation. This is an outrageous attempt, just as the attack on Pelosi was. And both of them have been legitimized by Donald Trump. And notice that the Republican Party has been very quiet in terms of any effort to condemn this. And that's outrageous, that a major political party sits on the sidelines while there is violence being threatened to the person who's second in line to be the president of the United States.
You know, Dr. Rosen, an 80-year-old woman, what did she do that somebody wanted to do that to her? But other than her, what she has a right to do in a nation that proclaims that there's freedom of speech and people die, fight and die for the right in this so-called democracy to have people elected to represent us. She's our representative.
The
So the attack on her is an attack on all of us. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an attack on the United States government because as I said, as the Speaker of the House, she is second in line to the presidency. Now, let's be clear. Let's be clear. This escalation of violence has taken place at exactly the same time that as the escalation in rhetoric among Republican politicians. They've called people like Pelosi traitors. If you recall, when Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson were debating, and the last question from the moderators was, what could you say positively about your opponent? Mr. Barnes said he's a good family man, period. And Ron Johnson praised Mr. Barnes' parents and then said, I don't understand why Mandela hates America. So if you tell people that your political opposition hates America and you run ads saying we need to eliminate Pelosi and you demonize Pelosi and you court groups like QAnon, which say that there is a pedophilia cabal
and the Democrats.
In the Democratic Party that is intent on murdering people and children, then it's you are unleashing the boundaries or the guardrails of civic society and unleashing people for violence. The rhetoric that the Republicans have used in the election, in the Wisconsin election, where they try to attribute the violence in Waukesha with the Democratic Party and the violent and the fires in Kenosha with the Democratic Party, saying Mandela Barnes or Tony Evers fan the flames, encourages the kind of activity that we see that broke the windows here, a violent assault on this radio station and on the people who are speaking truth to power on these radio airwaves.
Let's bring CJ on, man, quickly. Good morning, CJ. You say what?
Thank you, Earl and Dr. Rosen, for taking my call. This is the first I heard about your radio station, Earl. I love you, my brother, and this is crime. But the mere fact that the Democrat Party is finally realizing all this is crime. Where were you, Dr. Rosen, when Maxine Waters told people to get up in people's face? Tell them they're not welcome here. You got to be confrontational. Where were you, Dr. Rosen?
There's a difference between being politically confrontational and calling people thugs, enemies of the state, breaking windows.
Thugs come in all colors. Thugs come in all colors, Dr. Rosen.
I agree with that. I don't disagree with that. But we're dealing right now with political thuggery, with people who tried to kidnap the.
Where were you when Max? You won't answer me. You never denounced Maxine Waters, Dr.
I'm not aware. I'm not aware of her. I'm not aware of her comments. But it certainly doesn't. Those were comments. Those were comments, sir. The attack, the physical assault on Paul Pelosi and the attempt to kidnap his wife was not saying confront them. It was an actual physical confrontation where a man's skull was fractured and his wife was the man wanted to kidnap his wife. Over here, it was not arguing with Earl or myself. It was throwing bricks through the windows and shattering the windows. There is a fundamental difference between physical violence and people having a political argument.
because Republicans want people convicted and put in jail and kept there.
Then why don't they why haven't they condemned the man who fractured the skull of Paul Pelosi?
Hey, CJ, CJ. Listen to what he just said.
Why haven't they condemned the man who fractured the skull of Paul Pelosi? In fact, they instead have tried to put on social media that they implied that it was a gay relationship that went sour.
You always say just who are you? Who are you saying?
It was put on Twitter by Elon Musk, and it's been tweeted out by
Republican.
So let me say this to you, CJ. Not only did Elon Musk say it, a conservative talk show host on yesterday went on the radio and said the exact same thing, that he thought that it was a gay relationship. He came back on the air today.
Republican Party
the Republican Party condemns all Democrats for any situation that occurs.
Listen to Dr. Roseman. Oh my God, you guys, Earl. I want the person that vandalized your station to be caught and convicted, period. I don't care what party he comes from. I don't care what color he is.
Hey, CJ, hang on a second. CJ, hang on a second. Let's bring Maggie on, man. Bring Maggie on quickly. Go ahead, Maggie.
CJ, I understand you didn't call in when I was on the air, but I'm listening, okay? Here's the answer to your question. What Republicans? The Republican Congressional Committee has supported the violence against Mr. Pelosi. How did they do that? In two Twitter posts. The first one had the head of the Republican National Congressional Committee shooting a gun off with the hashtag Fire Pelosi and a list of all of the RNCC's grievances against Pelosi. There was an additional tweet that also promoted violence and said, finish the job. That is the Republican National Congressional Committee. Let me go on. The former president's son has been asking people to, quote, mobilize and posted a picture of men's underwear with a hammer, saying that he would dress up as Paul Pelosi for Halloween. So, sir, that is not condemnation. It's not even anywhere near that. The most you've gotten from most Republicans is milquetoast, sort of generalized, people shouldn't engage in violence. What you haven't heard from the former president himself is a clear condemnation of that man and anyone who engages in violence. That's why it is the fault of the Republican Party, sir. Pay attention. Thanks, Earl.
Maggie, thank you very much for the call. Thank you, CJ. Let's go ahead, Mike. The facts are facts. You see the increase in the rhetoric towards the Jewish community now. That's not coming from the Democratic Party, right?
No. And it's, you know, technically it's not coming from the Republican Party. The problem is that the Republican Party, under the leadership of Donald Trump, starting in Charlottesville, said there are good people on both sides. They have courted the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. In fact, those two groups, many of their leaders have now been convicted of participating and coordinating with Donald Trump and his associates in the attempt and the insurrection that took place on January 6th. These are white supremacist groups that utilize violence and terror as political tools. They around the country, we have seen a mass murder in New Mexico, in a grocery store, where the person who committed this these crimes gave explicit political justification that he was fighting the invaders, the Latino invaders. We saw a mass murder of black people in Buffalo, New York, which was explicitly aimed at black people by someone who was a acknowledged white supremacist. We saw the attack on the synagogue in Pittsburgh, the anti-Semitic attack by an anti-Semite. We saw the murder in South Charleston, South Carolina, of black people for being black in a church. And all of this escalation of violence has taken place in the context.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, text us at that same number. Look, it's Tuesdays. That means the truth fighter himself, Dr. Michael, Professor Michael Rosen's in the studio. Let's go to Laura from Milwaukee. Good morning, Laura. How you doing? What do you say?
Hey, yes, good morning. Thank you both for taking my call. I appreciate it. I don't even know where to begin as far as so-called President Trump and his followers. What I don't understand is, you know, they claim to be Americans, but yet they try to overthrow the very things that America stands for, you know, as far as our democracy is concerned. You know what? If they don't like it here, why don't they just leave? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I just don't get it. What is so wonderful about our ex-president that people still follow him and think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread? I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. I mean, I'm so angry and I'm so sick of the same baloney, you know, about him. I just, I wish I could just send him to Mars because it wouldn't even be far enough for me.
Hey, Laura, thank you very much for the call. So let's move on to why a conversation that I think is critical at this juncture right now, Dr. Rosen, and that's a guy who's running to become the next governor of the state of Wisconsin. Tim, I'm a businessman, Michaels.
Yes.
And what some of his thoughts are and plans.
Yeah.
If he gets elected.
Yeah. So what's interesting is that Mr. Michaels has twice floated the idea that Wisconsin adopt a flat income tax and replace our graduated income tax, meaning that as your income goes up, you pay a higher percentage of your income, with a flat tax. This is not a new idea. It's an idea that Steve Forbes, the billionaire heir to the Forbes dynasty, has been promoting. And last year, four states, including our neighbor Iowa, adopted it. Okay, so we had the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, run the numbers of what a flat tax would look like in Wisconsin. And let me just talk about that for a minute, okay? It would necessitate, if we were going to raise the same amount of money so that the state could continue to do all of the things that it currently does with the flat tax, the rate would have to be 5.22%. In that scenario, the middle class and working poor and working class in Wisconsin, 96.6% of Wisconsin taxpayers who make between $20,000 and $300,000 would get a tax increase. But the people making over $500,000, only 3.3% of Wisconsin taxpayers, would get an average tax cut of $22,280. In other words, a flat tax that's revenue neutral would be a massive tax increase for most of us and a tax break for the 3.3% of the people who are exceedingly wealthy in this state. Now, Michaels has said that he was only interested in doing this if it doesn't raise taxes on anybody. So that would require him to adopt a 3.4% tax rate. That would still be a windfall for the richest. In fact, it would be a greater windfall. But it would slash the state's revenue by $6 billion in the first year, and in round numbers, $4 billion every other year. Such a cut would result in one of two things: either compensating for the lost revenue by increasing sales and property taxes, which are disproportionately paid by the middle class and the working class, or strangulating government services. Can you imagine living in Wisconsin after state funding for roads, bridges, public education, technical college, the University of Wisconsin system, healthcare, the prison system, and environmental protections have been slashed? To see how flat taxes work, and I know I'm going on, but I want to raise this.
That's what we wanted you here. Go ahead.
To see how it works, all we have to do is look at Illinois, which has a 4.95% flat tax, but a sales tax of 6.25%. Now, that doesn't sound much higher than Wisconsin, but remember, they tax groceries. They tax groceries, and their gas tax is 55.9 cents per gallon, as opposed to Wisconsin's 30.9 cents. In fact, the poorest 20% of Illinois' households under their flat tax system pay nearly twice as much in state and local taxes as the richest 1%. Now, Michaels and his supporters have said, well, I don't really have a plan, and it's not fair to criticize. I get the smartest people in the room. But the smartest people in the room at the Legislative Fiscal Bureau already have told us what a flat tax would look like in Wisconsin. It would be a massive tax cut for the wealthy. It would be a tax increase for the middle and working classes. And we know that this is on the agenda because, as I said, in Republican-controlled states all across the country, this has already been pursued and implemented. Mississippi, Iowa, and two others just recently started, adopted.
So then, Dr. Rosen, it would be safe to say that because they already know the outcome of the flat tax, that he's aware of it. He's aware of it because it's, as you stated, it's happening in different parts of this country. The other part of it is, Dr. Rosen, why it's so important now, before election time, for people to know that, is he knowingly knows the outcome of it.
Of course he does, which is why he hasn't put forward a plan. Now, his supporters are saying, he hasn't put forward a plan, you're just creating a straw man. But he has said, he has flirted with the tax, flat tax. It's incumbent on him to put forward a plan. Instead, all he does is try to blame his opponent, Governor Evers, for what happened in Waukesha, the horrific situation with the parade, which Evers had nothing to do with. But instead, and that takes people's eyes off the ball. The ball is that his party and Michaels himself has raised now at least twice that he wants to do a flat tax. People should be aware of it. They should be aware of what the consequences of a flat tax are. If they support it, listen, if you believe that rich people in Wisconsin need more tax breaks so they can buy...
So, Dr. Rosen, hold the thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.